been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my time has come. Been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my race has been run. When I think of all that lies before me, well, I know what I will do for sure. Well, I pray, yes, I pray, the Lord will come and take my troubles away.
Coming Alive by Jim Eldridge, with Carl Howman as Terry King and Phyllis Logan as Sandra Gaines. Coming Alive, Part 3, Committed.
Terence.
Ernie.
Thank you for taking the time. I didn't know if you would.
Well, I was a bit wary. After I came out of the nick, I said I wouldn't be going back inside ever again.
You're only visiting?
Yeah. Yeah, but I still get that chill feeling when the door shuts behind me.
I'll come straight to the point, Terence. Mavis.
Mavis?
Word has it from Billy Parker that she was asking him about you, and then shortly after, she disappears.
Disappears?
Only overnight. She nips off and then turns up the next day back at our house. So the question I want to ask you, Terence, is do you know where she went?
She came to see me, Ernie, at this centre on the estate where I'm working.
And do you happen to know where she spent the night?
At my gaff. But nothing happened between us, Ernie, I swear. I stayed in one room, she stayed in the other. She came to talk about you, Ernie.
Praise the Lord.
Hey?
Set me amongst sinners, saith the Lord, and I will find you an honest man.
Are you all right, Ernie?
I know where she was, Terence, and what happened. I had a man keeping watch on her.
Watch? What, all night?
Of course. A man in my position can't be too careful. And Mavis gets some funny ideas. So my man followed her and kept watch on what happened. I like to be kept informed.
But if you knew that...
Terence, you knew me as a man of violence.
True.
A man of extreme violence.
Yes, very true.
But I am born again. I have found God.
In here?
God moves in mysterious ways and along strange pathways. Now, the old Ernie wouldn't even be having this conversation with you.
Well, that's true.
I wanted to let you know that it would not be a good idea for you to see Mavis again.
I won't be.
Because even though nothing happened between you, and even though I am no longer a man of violence, I am in touch with people who are. And I would hate to feel that my newfound goodness was being taken advantage of.
It won't be, Ernie. Not by me.
Remember, Terence, there is no room for betrayal in this world. I may be in here, but my eyes are out there all the time.
Absent in body, but present in spirit. First book of Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 3.
Exactly. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Romans, chapter 19.
Yeah, that's another good one.
So you're off the hook again?
Only just. Ernie Maddox may have found God, but he's still more Old Testament than New Testament.
Hey?
Vengeance, as opposed to forgiveness.
Ah.
I was dead lucky that I didn't take advantage of Mavis's offer. Otherwise, I'd be carrying my ears around in a shoebox.
Ah, get off, your ears ain't that big. Hey, you don't half lead a dangerous life, though.
It's not the life I lead. It's the other people in it who mess it up.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Same here, mate.
Why? What's happened to you?
Well, my dad kicked me out again last night.
Oh, no. Why?
Well, I could say it's to do with his new girlfriend, but to be honest, it's him.
I thought you were getting on all right with him these days.
Yeah. Not so much as we were getting on as we didn't see each other. During the day I was here and he was at home, and then at night when I was home he was down the pub. Since he met Angela, he started staying at home. Me and her don't get on.
Why?
Oh, she moans about me all the time. I get fed up with it, so I, you know, tell her where to get off.
Which doesn't go down very well.
Nah, she tells my dad. He threatens to hit me, I walk out. Last night he told me if I walked out one more time I could stay out. So I did.
Where'd you go?
Oh, round my mate Ollie's. Not a good idea.
No? Well, why didn't you come here?
Well, didn't like to, did I? I mean, you and Sandra might have been...
Sandra and I are not an item.
She's still not talking to you?
Oh, not talking, not seeing. As far as she's concerned, I could be the invisible man.
Hey, that's an idea.
What is?
Well, the invisible man. He's usually wrapped in bandages, isn't he?
So?
Why don't you try getting yourself injured? Ain't nothing like a bloke in a plaster cast all dying and stuff to make women feel sympathetic to him.
Oh, yeah? And what do you suggest? I'll get myself run over? Yeah,
not a bad idea. I could arrange it with a mate of mine. I mean, nothing too serious, you know, just the odd leg or a rib or two, but it'd look good.
No.
You could always get some rare wasting disease.
No.
All right, look, what about...
Right, no, look, you... listen, I don't know why I'm listening to you with all these crackpot ideas.
Because I'm your mate. I bring a little cheer into your life, don't I?
Hello? Oh. Anyone here?
Yeah, mate, opportunity knocks. Look, how about if I hit you over the head with something? You know, the sympathy idea.
No. We're in here.
I see this place is still a scrapyard for used car parts.
Only temporarily. I'm currently in negotiations with a larger organisation for a takeover bit of my business.
Oh? Who?
I think it means the car dump.
It's a business opportunity.
I'm sure. Actually, would you leave us for a moment, Steve? I wish to have a private word with Mr. King.
No problem. Uh-huh. On my way. And look, I will get that stuff sorted out.
Come to listen to what really happened with Mavis.
I saw what really happened. I don't need a translation or a revisionist interpretation.
Look, nothing happened between her and me.
Can we just leave it? I saw what I saw.
I'm hardly likely to have done anything that stupid when there'd just been us, am I?
Yes, is the answer to that.
Look, if you don't believe me, why don't you talk to her old man? He had her followed here. He knows that nothing happened.
Oh, come on.
He did. His name's Ernie Maddox, and you'll find him in Brixton Nick.
If you think I'm getting sucked into some complicated con you've set up with your crooked friend...
He's not a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in years till this morning.
When you went to set this up...
I've not set this up. Of course, a waste of breath talking to you about this, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Right now, I'm here to talk about the centre. You said you'd get this place up and running.
And I am.
But not fast enough. From now on, I want a weekly report on the progress you're making with this place.
Right, you're the boss.
Delivered to my office every Friday.
In person?
You can leave it at main reception. And I don't want excuses about why this didn't happen or that didn't happen. I want results. Because if I don't see progress being made, then I'll have to look for someone who can push this place forward.
And all this because you thought something happened that didn't.
I said I'm not talking about it. Mm. From now on, you and I have a business-only relationship based on this centre. That's it. Right?
Right.
Good. I'll expect the first report from you this Friday.
Well?
No, not well at all.
Do you want me to do it you over the head after all?
No need. I think Sandra will do it, given the chance.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to do exactly what she wants. Going to get this place up and running and in a big way. Then she might change her mind about me.
So where are you going to get this place operational?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve. We'll start by forming an action committee.
A what?
A committee. You know, get lots of people together. Work out what we're going to do with the place.
You'll never get them to come to a meeting. Not in the evening. There's too much on telly.
Oh, yes, we will. You watch me. I have a plan.
Yeah. What's that?
It's a poster.
I can see it's a poster, but what's it about? All it's got on it is the date. Wednesday the 28th, 7:30 p.m.
That's right.
Oh, I think it's ridiculous. No place. No, what's it about? Just the date and the time.
That's a very good point, Missus. I'll tell the bloke who gave them to me to put up.
You do that, and you can tell him I said it's ridiculous.
Well, how did it go with your lot?
Just like you said it would. Got everyone talking about it. What's happening on the 28th then? What's it about?
Good. Give it 2 days. Then we put up the next posters with a bit more information. Nothing definite. Just enough to keep them all asking each other what's going on. Keep them all talking about it.
You're half clever.
It's an old trick.
What is going to happen on the 28th?
Uh-huh. For that, you'll have to wait for the third poster.
It's like a cereal. Oh, by the way, thanks. You know, for letting me move in here.
Well, I could hardly let you keep on the street, could I?
It's only till I get myself sorted out. Ollie and me are talking about trying to get ourselves a flat.
Oh, right.
So, it's all right if I move some of my stuff in?
Yep, providing you clear a space for it.
All right.
Oh, and no parties.
Yeah, no problem. Lucky I kept my postman Pat sleeping bag. even if it has got a hole in it. Right, there's my shirts, socks.
Is that you, Angela?
No, it's me.
Now, what are you doing here?
Come to collect my belongings.
Belongings? You call that rubbish belongings? Where are you staying, then?
At the centre.
Oh, yeah. With that convict mate of yours, I'd watch him if I were you.
Why?
Well, you know what these blokes are like.
What? What?
An ex-con.
Oh, what are you talking about? Where's Angela?
She must be out. You really going, then?
I went 2 days ago, didn't you notice?
Now, don't give me none of your lip. You're not too big for me to give you a good idea.
Oh, yeah, like you always did.
I was always fair to you. You need a discipline. Stop you getting into trouble.
I don't want to talk about it. I'm going.
If you walk out that door, don't expect to come back.
I won't.
After all I've done for
you. Oh, yeah, such as what?
You ungrateful little...
Forget it! I'm gone.
I won't help you, you know. If you think you can come back here crawling with your tail between your legs in a couple of days and everything will be all right, you can stuff it. Once you're gone, you're gone. I don't want anything more to do with you. You're no son of mine.
Bye, Dad.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, please. Look, Steve, shut him up.
Everybody shut up!
Right, so, OK, thank you all for coming.
Now, what's this all about, then?
Well, that is what I hope to explain. As you know, this place is starting to be done up. Now, the question is, once it's done up, what should it be used for?
Bingo!
Rubbish! We don't want bingo.
Oh, you speak for yourself, mate!
Don't you take that turn up.
Come on,
please. Look, can we keep this discussion orderly, please? Now, what we want to do is make sure that everyone who wants to put something on in this place, whether it's bingo, sports, dances, that all these ideas are taken on board.
Point of order.
Yes. Well, actually, Mr...
What? Evans.
Evans. Mr. Evans, this is a first informal meeting. I don't think we need to have points of order and all that stuff at this stage.
Well, I disagree.
So, you would. You're a pain in the arse, you are.
When I was chairman of my union branch...
Oh, not the bloody union.
My branch was a model of democracy. Everyone got the chance to speak without being interrupted.
I believe the North American Indians use a stone. I
beg your pardon?
A speaking stone. When they have a meeting, whoever holds the stone is the one who speaks, and all the others have to wait for their turn to speak until they get the stone.
I've got a stone we can use. School stone. Come at me, husband. Keep it in a jar on the mantelpiece as a reminder.
Yeah. I think we're getting off the point here,
First thing we have to do is appoint a chairman.
So we can call a strike.
Listen. If it hadn't been for the unions in this country...
Please, Mr. Wilson, look, we're talking about this centre.
Or was it a stick?
Hey?
The Indians. I think they had a talking stick.
Ventriloquist, were they?
Instead of the stone.
Will you shut up about the Indians?
Oh.
There are no American Indians on this estate.
There's a wigwam in the precinct.
Well, I've never seen it.
This speaking stick.
Well, you know what you can do with your speaking stick.
Wait, does the stick actually talk then?
Well, I understand that the Sioux tribe of Dakota use it regularly in their meetings.
Come on now, please, shut up. Will you please?
You asked me, I'm surrounded by a load of people who are raving, barking mad.
Don't worry, Mr. Cartwright. I'm sure my staff have all that in hand, but I will definitely check. Yes. Oh, rest assured, you can confidently leave that to me. If there is anything that I personally can do to ensure that the freedom of the individual in this country isn't hampered in any way, I absolutely, leave it to me. Yes. Goodbye. Goodbye. Moronic do-gooding interfering. Yeah, enter.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Preston?
Ah, Miss Gaines, yes, come in. It's about this man King.
Yes? What's he been up to?
That's just it, I'm not sure. Do you think he's political?
Political? In what way?
Well, apparently he held a meeting at the centre the other night.
Yes, I know.
At which, so I'm reliably informed, he told the people that it was their centre. For them to run as they wanted.
And?
What do you mean, and? It is not their centre, it's owned by the council.
I don't think he meant it in that way. I think he meant that they could run things. You know, dances, bingo, clubs.
But without proper officials in charge.
I'm sure the clubs will be properly constituted.
You're missing the point. That building belongs to the council. If things are going to go on there, then they should be run by the council with proper council officials in charge.
But the council doesn't have the money to pay for that sort of thing, which is why I assume Mr. King is going to get the people from the estate to run things themselves.
Take it over? This is rampant communism.
Hardly. More like self-help.
Well, I don't like it. This could set a dangerous precedent. It's the thin end of the wedge. Next thing we'll have people coming in here and telling us what to do.
Only when it concerns their own lives, which seems fair.
Anarchy.
Anarchy and communism. You don't think there might be a contradiction there?
Don't get clever with me, Miss Gaines. I want to find out how far this thing has gone.
Well, you can always talk to Mr. King.
I'm not talking to him. He's your responsibility.
But
I want you to have a word with him. Find out exactly what his plans are for this People's Committee, whatever it is. If there is anything political going on here, we need to nip it in the bud before it gets too far.
Oi! You!
Me?
Yeah. Is my Steve about?
Oh, no. He's gone out to look at a trailer.
Oh? Where?
I don't know. Downside way, I think. He's gone with a mate of his. Shall I tell him you called?
No. I only came to give him these. He left them behind.
Oh, right.
They're his old school reports. I kept them in a drawer. I thought he might want them.
I'm sure he will.
How's he doing?
He's doing all right.
You don't like me, do you?
I don't know you, Mr. Addison. Only what Steve tells me.
He lies.
We all have our own view of things. Some views are different, that's all.
It wasn't easy for me, you know, bringing him up on my own.
I never said it was.
I'm not going to justify myself to you.
I didn't ask you to.
We don't all get handouts like you. A job and a place to live on a plate.
I'm not going to argue with you, Mr. Addison.
You've turned him against me.
He was against you before I came along.
I did my best for him, always.
Well, I'm sure you thought you did.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Hello? Oh, Mr. Addison.
Well, don't mind me. I'm just going. Make sure he gets his school reports.
I will.
What was all that about?
He came to give Steve his school reports.
A bit late in the day for him to be playing the kind father, isn't it?
I don't know. I get the feeling he's missing Steve.
Missing?
Yeah. Well, Steve, he's sort of moved in here.
What? You mean there are two of you living here?
Well, it's only temporary.
I will not have you turning this place into a doss house, or worse.
Well, where else is there for him to go? He can't sleep on the streets. And you, of all people, should know what his home life's been like.
Yes, all right. But I want you both to find somewhere else. If the authorities get wind of the fact that this place is being lived in...
You are the authorities.
The other authorities...
Mr. Preston?
Which brings me to why I've come, Mr. Preston. He's concerned about what you're up to here.
Up to? I'm not up to anything except trying to get this place up and running.
I think he's worried about this People's Action Committee you're trying to set up.
Well, it seemed to me the best way. If we don't get the people on this estate involved, it'll never work.
I agree. I think it's a very good idea.
You do? Oh, good.
But Mr. Preston is concerned that all this is happening without any officials being involved.
Well, officials can be involved if they like. More the merrier. Providing they want to move the place forward and not stop it. Tell Mr. Preston he's welcome to be on the committee.
Somehow I can't see that happening.
All right. What about you? Your project? You want to know what's going on? Well, what better way than being on the committee?
If this is a way to get me to spend time with you...
Oh, come on. What sort of bloke do you think I am?
I know what sort you are.
No, you don't. And if you had the decency to check my story out with Ernie Maddox...
I am not going to discuss this with you. Okay, I'll be on your committee.
Excellent. Our first meeting is tomorrow at 7:30.
Well, it's short notice, but how long will it take?
Well, who's to say? Hopefully it'll all be over in about an hour.
All right. I'll see if I can get a babysitter for Gail.
Great. Then we'll be able to tell Mr. Preston that this is democracy in action. Do you know, I think you'll be impressed.
I am impressed, Miss Gaines. Well done.
Thank you, Mr. Preston.
You have successfully thrown a spanner in King's attempts to cut out the authorities from whatever it is he's up to. How did you manage to persuade him to agree to your being on this committee of his?
Actually, he asked me if I would.
Oh, did he? Why would he do that? An ulterior motive?
Oh, I don't think so. I think he just wants this department involved.
I see. You may be right, but I'd be on my guard if I were you. I still feel he's a slippery character. Keep an eye on him.
I will, Mr. Preston. Don't you worry. Right. I think I'll give Brixton Prison a call. Yes, Welfare Office, please.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming. I hope we'll have a quieter meeting than last time. Yeah. I apologise for the cramped space, but as you can hear, tonight is basketball practice night.
Why, we're not going to get that banging all night.
No, no, Steve, have a word with the boys, will you?
Why me?
Well, because you're their manager.
Yeah, but I'm more coach.
We'll coach them not to chuck the ball at this door.
All right.
Are you lot time out? Hey, come on.
Now.
Right, told them, no more banging on the door. After that one.
Can we get on, Mr. King?
Of course. Right, well, do I have any nominations for chairperson?
I'll nominate Terry King.
No.
Hey, why not?
Because he's a convict.
Actually, Mrs. Wilson, he's not technically a convict.
Yes, he is. Isn't he doing his time here?
Well, yes.
Well, there you are, then.
Yes, but...
Well, how can there be a but?
No, it's okay. Look, I don't want to be chairperson. In fact, I was going to suggest Sandra Gaines. In my opinion, she'd be the ideal person.
Actually, I'd rather not. Oh,
good, because she shouldn't be chairperson.
And why not?
Well, she doesn't live on this estate. The chairman should be someone who lives on this estate.
Right.
All right. Who have we got who lives on this estate and wants to be chairperson?
Well, I wouldn't mind giving it a go.
This is a problem.
You? You'd have non-stop union meetings going on.
Better than non-stop bingo.
Oh. And the basketball.
I'll go and have another word with him.
No, Steve, leave it. Look, let's elect the chairperson first, shall we?
I have a suggestion.
It's not going to be anything about speaking sticks, is it? Because we had that at the last meeting.
No, I was going to suggest that all the people who would like to be chairperson should write their names on a piece of paper. Then they all say a little bit about why they'd be the ideal choice, and then we can all vote.
You should never vote. You don't live here.
Yes, but I am the social services official responsible for this place.
Bureaucrats trying to take over again.
I am not trying to take over.
Can I suggest that neither me nor Sandra Gaines have a vote? Her because she doesn't live here, me because I'm the worker.
Yes.
Actually, fine.
Okay, right, if we can get on. Taking up Miss Gaines' proposal, all those who would like to be chairperson, if they write their names on this piece of paper and then... Well, we can get the procedure going.
God, I'm glad that's over.
I'm glad your basketball team have gone. God, that banging was starting to give me a headache.
Well, I got practice. I reckon the committee drove them out with all that talking. Look at the time, it's 9:30. You said it'd be over in an hour. Never known such a load of nagging about nothing. And we still never agreed on who was going to be chairman.
We will at the next meeting. Democracy takes time. Remember, a perfect democracy is the most shameless thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, Burke said that.
Edmund.
Edmund who?
Edmund Burke. 1729 to 1797.
You didn't half know a lot, didn't you? I was pleased to see Sandra turned up, though.
Yeah, so was I.
Part of a plan, eh, mate?
Yeah. A long-term plan. In fact, it might be a bit too long-term.
You know what you ought to do? You ought to get Mavis to write Sandra a letter telling her that, like, nothing happened between you.
Steve, you haven't had a lot of experience with women, have you?
Yeah, I have. I may be young, but I've been there, mate. I know what it's all about.
Yeah? Can you picture Sandra's reaction if she got a letter from Mavis?
Yeah, it could be right. Anyway, I've got to go.
Where?
Got a date.
Eh? Who with?
My mate Ollie's cousin, Katie.
You sly old dog.
She was round at his place when I called there the other day. She's beautiful.
Yeah? What time are you going to be back?
Well, with a bit of luck, I won't be.
You got your key?
Yeah, don't worry. I'll see you later.
Yeah, see you. And don't wake me up if I'm asleep when you come in.
Don't worry.
Right, now. Peaceful night in. Or not, as the case may be. It's unlocked! I said it's all right, you can come in. Sandra.
Can I still come in?
Yeah, well, of course. Please. I thought you'd gone.
I had, but I came back.
Because?
I went to Brixton this afternoon to see Ernie Maddox.
You did?
He was very clear on what a moral person you were. He even gave me some quotes from the Bible to back it up. Apparently, his man was watching the whole night.
That's what I told you. Mind you, I didn't know that at the time.
I'm sorry.
So am I. I should have chucked her out when she first arrived.
You're too soft-hearted for that.
Oh, look at the trouble it got me into.
Well, I know I've been stupid. Well, no, not stupid.
Yeah, look, I'd have been the same. But now, you're here again.
Terry.
Oh, Sandra. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Ah, there you are, Steve. Now, who was a lucky boy last night then, eh? Steve, what's up? What's wrong?
My dad's dead.
What?
There was a phone call for me from Angela at Ollie's when I got in last night. Dad had had a row with Angela. He went storming off and he tripped as he was about across the road. Banged his head on the curb, that was it.
Banged his head?
Simple as that. Brain hemorrhage. I've been at the hospital. He never come round.
Oh, Steve.
The row he had with her was over me. Because of the way I left. I'll never have the chance to get it straightened out now. The last words I ever said to him.
Oh, Steve, I'm so sorry. Come here, son.
Well, I've been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my time has come.
In part three of Coming Alive, Terry King was played by Carl Howman, Sandra Gaines, Phyllis Logan, Steve Addison, Ben Crow, Mr. Preston, David Holt, Mr. Addison, Jeffrey Whitehead, Mrs. Wilson, Maggie McCarthy, Ernie Maddox, Roger Walker, Mr. Evans, Gavin Muir, Miss Graham, Richenda Carey. Coming Alive is written by Jim Eldridge and directed by Marilyn Imrie.